I want to talk to you today on holy water, not the kind of holy water some men call holy water, but holy water as found in the Bible. Life at its best is just one big teardrop. A babe comes into the world, and with its first breath it cries, and man, when he's through and the curtain falls, he goes out into death with a cry or a moan on his lips. God only knows the tears that are shed during the lifetime of every man and woman. Oh, the sorrows that follow man through life. But I'm glad that we have a Savior who was touched with all the feeling of our infirmities, a Savior who was tempted in all points as we are, a Savior who knew what it was to steal away from the crowd and have a good cry. You know, when I think of how much like me he was, it sort of makes me love him the more. I was interested this week as I roamed to and fro in the Bible and especially the New Testament to see how often tears, or holy water as I have called them, have surrounded the Son of God. Jesus had just finished preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He had met the centurion and had healed his servant. And now he started for the city of Nain. And as he approached the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. He was all the poor mother had, and she was crying bitterly, as only a forlorn mother can cry. No doubt she was thinking her God was harsh to her. Maybe she even held the thought in mind that he was cruel. But oh, how she cried, and the record says Jesus had compassion on her. No doubt he said to her, "Woman, weep no more, dry those tears." And he touched the coffin and said unto him, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he arose and was restored to his mother. The tears were holy water. Jesus had compassion. He dried the tears. He comforted the heart that was broken. And I wonder if this picture describes you today, my friend, you there by the radio. Have you lost a loved one? Have you felt the pang of loneliness? Have you cried and found no relief? Then I went out and followed Jesus again, and I watched him as he preached to the crowd, and I listened to him as he rebuked the Pharisees. I saw him heal the 10 lepers, and I saw the radiance of his face as he victoriously conquered the demons. Then the news came. Lazarus, his friend, was sick. The letter written by Mary said, "He whom thou lovest is sick." His countenance dropped, but on about his work he went until 2 days elapsed, and then he started for Judea. And as he arrived in Bethany with a dismal place it was, my, it was a sad-looking place. All were in mourning. Lazarus was dead, and all were weeping for him. Then said Martha, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, our brother Lazarus would not have died." What a compliment, and yet what a rebuke. And Jesus said, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Then Mary came and said practically the same thing. Then when Jesus saw her weeping and saw where they had laid him, he broke down and wept. He cried aloud. His manly feelings gave way and he cried over the tomb. The record says Jesus wept. Here was holy water, tears from the Savior's eyes. Then he arose and standing before the tomb, he cried, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth bound hand and foot, and Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." Then I noticed as Jesus' life was drawing to a close, he stood one day on the hills outside Jerusalem. And as he looked down on the city, he wept over it, saying, "O Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them that are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, but ye would not." He cried over Jerusalem. But it was not for the buildings. Oh, no, no, no. He knew they all were to be raised and leveled to the ground. Oh, no. Jesus cried over the lost souls in Jerusalem. He knew they were soon to crucify him. He knew that thousands would die in their sins and refuse to surrender to the Son of God, and he cried, tears that were holy in the sight of God, knowing that they were bound for the pit of hell. Then the day is near for his death. So he slips away alone in the Garden of Gethsemane, and his anxiety of soul was so great that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And I believe he cried. I believe his tears in the garden were noticed by God as he brought his will into submission to bring it to the cross. Then with that victory won, he was rushed through the courts and Pilate rendered the verdict, guilty. And they nailed him to the cross between 2 thieves. And there can you see him? He cried, the scripture said, "O Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Ah, yes. And I believe if we crept closer in among the Roman soldiers and looked closely, we'd have seen huge tears, real tears, flowing down the face of the Savior. Tears from his pain. Tears from his agony. Yes, and tears of joy, because he cried, "It is finished." He had fulfilled his destined purpose. He had won the fight. Then look, if you will, at his tomb. Mary came early to the tomb, and the tears flowed freely. And amidst the darkness she looked, but no, what was wrong? She saw 2 figures in white, and they asked, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And she cried, "Because they have taken away my Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Mary." Ah, he need say no more, "Mary." And she knew it. And her tears were turned into tears of joy, for Jesus was alive. He was alive forevermore. And now I come to you as a voice, you there, my friend, by the radio, the voice of one asking you, have you reached that stage yet where you can't cry over your sin? Are you too far gone? Are you calloused and indifferent to the call of Jesus and his claim on your soul? Then I fear for you today. All is black around you, all is night. Have you cried to God because of your sin, young man? Have you, young woman, run to Jesus and shed tears of repentance at his feet? Oh, I know you cried a lot that night after your sin. After you knew, as Esau knew, he had done wrong, there was no repentance. You went out and sinned again and again and again until now you are cold and in danger. Your heart's like stone, and I tremble for you. I fear lest the Spirit of God should leave you and your doom be sealed. But still there may be time if you'll but come to him. There in your room, go to it now. There by your bedside, get down on your knees and close the door, lock it, and there alone pour out your heart to him in earnest. Don't be afraid to cry. Cry before God. Cling to the Savior's feet, and perchance the Spirit of God will give you repentance to the saving of your soul. As God says, turn ye, for why will you die? Oh, the sadness of dying and being lost and going to hell. Listen to me. I'm your friend. I'm telling you, as sure as you go through life and trample underfoot the Son of God and say no to Jesus and refuse to shed tears of repentance, holy water, there'll certainly be nothing ahead of you but the awful gloom and misery and sorrow and death in hell. But bless God, there's still hope for you. Jesus died for you that you might not go there, and he wants you to be saved today. Will you trust him? Will you receive him? Will you accept him now? I hope you will.